Our scripture reading this afternoon, comes from Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. You'll find this on page 8 of your bulletin. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The word of the Lord.
Good evening. It's good to be here. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of folks I don't know. Let's continue to worship. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to bless his word and our time together? Lord, by your Spirit, renew our eyes to the beautiful value and treasure that is Christ. Because we ask in his name. Amen. I'm going to get hoarse. I've been yelling at 13-year-old girls coaching soccer all spring. And so if I lose my voice, just hang in with me, okay? I have had the pleasure of the last 20 years to disappear every year to the British Virgin Islands for a week and to sail. And I went with a friend one time, and then I went another time, and then I thought, I've got to do this on my own. And so I started putting together trips, and every year I go down there. And about the fifth year going down, we pulled into this little place called Soper's Hole. It's exactly what you would think of a Caribbean lagoon. Pretty blue water, gorgeous sunset. And there's this little restaurant called the Jolly Roger that sits on the side of this lagoon. And there's a guy by the name of Lewis from Manhattan who owned it. And one day I went up there in the afternoon to make a reservation for dinner and sit down and maybe have an adult beverage at the bar, and I got to start talking to Lewis. It turns out that Lewis was from Manhattan, owned a chain of, not a chain, but like a number of restaurants, and was killing it in the New York restaurant business. And he left it and bought this little patch of dirt in the Caribbean to open this little restaurant called the Jolly Roger. And my back was to the lagoon, and I was looking at him from the bar. And with my drink in my hand, I looked at him, I said, Lewis, like, why did you do that? And he just kind of like waved over my shoulder and said, dude, have you seen this place? And what Jesus is trying to say through the parable this evening, is that when you stumble upon the kingdom, you are surprised by this unexpected beauty. And it creates a reaction in your heart. Lewis, when I said, why did you give all this up? He said, dude, you don't get it. Have you seen the beauty of where you're sitting? That stuff in Manhattan was nothing. And what I want you to see this evening is from these two little verses that there is an unexpected treasure and a joyful reaction when we as frail human beings stumble upon the kingdom of heaven. There is a joyful giving away because there is a surprising, valuable gain. Like I promise I did my homework on the text. The kingdom of heaven is found being in Christ. The kingdom is found in a person. And that person was speaking when he told this parable. Now, a few things here. Jesus, in chapter 13 of Matthew, had been telling a number of parables about the kingdom, about his coming, about the rule that he would establish in and through his person and his life. And right before, he started talking about how the kingdom was really kind of small in its beginnings and not much to see. Unless the people who were hearing him that day thought that little and small and not much to see in small beginnings didn't have value, he tells this parable. So, a couple things that you heard. One is this. There are two different people in this parable. The first person is probably a day laborer who simply stumbles along and finds a treasure in a field. He's probably a guy who's working the fields, who is digging and clink, finds a buried box. And in that day, it was not uncommon to bury your valuables in a field, because in the day of Jesus, you didn't have Fort Worth Bank. There weren't any banks. So that when marauding kind of enemies would come into the land, or when people would go away on a long journey, they didn't leave their valuables in their home. Someone would go and in the dark of night or secretly would go and bury that stuff in the field. And if he didn't come back, or if he died, or if they were taken away in war, it was just found there. And it was commonplace for people working in fields to bury, dig this stuff up. So this first guy was probably just a normal, relatively poor day laborer. The second guy was a pearl merchant, that second parable. And pearl merchants were wealthy. They had a lot of money. And just quickly, I think what you see is that all kinds of people stumble into the kingdom of heaven. Rich, poor, educated, uneducated, culturally savvy, culturally unsavvy, foodies, crystal lovers, whatever you, right? All kinds of different people stumble into the beauty of the kingdom. The second thing that you see of this is that the first guy wasn't looking for anything, but the second guy was looking for a really good deal. But both of them found something unexpected. And I said, I want you to see two things. An unexpected treasure is what you find when you stumble into the kingdom, when you find Christ. See, the value of this unexpected treasure, it is assumed in both of these parables. And it's hard to summarize, okay, the worth of the kingdom of heaven. And in part, he tells this parable because he's attempting to communicate spiritual truths to a reality of a world that is very physical and tactile, to people who believe that all you can trust is what you can see and feel and conquer and own and hold. But this paradigm of an unexpected treasure being found by people is the paradigm of the Bible story itself from beginning to end. Let me just run it with you for a minute. Adam unexpectedly found himself in a garden with a woman he never expected to find, who was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If you read the Bible, Abraham found a child in his old age unexpectedly. Joseph found a place and a position when he thought it was only going to be slavery. Moses and his people unexpectedly found deliverance by the hand of God through his presence. They found water and manna in the desert. Ruth found a family and a redeemer. Joshua found the promised land. David found a kingdom. The prophets found a promise. The people of Israel found a return of exile, all because of the presence and person of God was with them. That paradigm doesn't change into the New Testament. When people come face to face with the very person of God, the presence of the kingdom himself in Christ, that unexpected value continues. The blind man unexpectedly found his sight. The lame man who thought that what he wanted was physical healing unexpectedly found that his sins were forgiven. Lepers found themselves healed. The Roman guard unexpectedly found his daughter raised. The woman at the well unexpectedly found her shame covered, her sexual identity healed. Martha and Mary found their brother again. Look, I'm not going to get it all in the next minute or two, but when you stumble upon the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said that an unexpected treasure is unfolded before your eyes and before your hearts. When you, by God's kindness, are made to see Christ through the eyes of faith, you find beautiful, unexpected treasure. Because you never thought you needed forgiveness, but when you stumble upon Jesus, you find a forgiveness for your brokenness that you could never imagine. And you never knew that you needed a restoration to relationship and to people. But if you have drunk of the brokenness of human relationships, when you stumble upon the beauty that is Christ who restores relationships, you find glory and goodness in the way God brings people back together. You may not have known that you needed a conscience that has a word that speaks peace to it, but when you stumble upon the kingdom of heaven, there is a peace of conscience that is given you that you could never imagine. There is the redemption of all things. Man, I'm not 18 anymore. I'm coming to believe that I'm not immortal, that my body is actually going to break down. And when you find Christ, you find that the hope of the restoration of your body and soul for all eternity is granted through the treasure that is Christ by His resurrection. Work is given value. Worth to people is restored. Shame is covered. But there's actually more in this parable, because God Himself is the point of the parable. You see, God Himself has a treasure that He is seeking. And God Himself actually buried the treasure that He loves most dearly in the ground for 3 days. And then He raised it up, and raising up His Son, Jesus Christ, He made sure that the treasure that He was seeking, that is you, the things that He loves most dearly, will certainly be found by Him. There is an unexpected beauty in the way God goes about the business of building a kingdom. See, He has a treasure. It's you. And He has loved a people from all eternity past. And He has taken that treasure that He loves most dearly, His Son, and He buried Him, and He gave Him over to death and all its consequences, that the treasure that He really loves might be found. Okay, well, so what? There is this beautiful, unexpected treasure in the kingdom of heaven. But what He says is that when the kingdom of heaven is found, when the treasure is stumbled upon, there is this great reaction. If you look at the first parable, it even gives it more clearly. It says this: this man finds a treasure and then he covered it up. And don't miss this. Then in his joy, right? In his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys the field. And what you're supposed to hear from that is this: is that when the treasure of Christ is open to your heart and to your eyes, it has this amazing ability to rearrange all of the priorities of what you value. Now listen, all of you guilty conscience people, there is not a command in this parable. Please do not hear, you better value Jesus rightly and go sell everything. That's not what it says. What does it say? When the man saw the beauty of the treasure, he was so overcome with the joy of finding it that his hands were freed from all the things that he valued, and he went and he sold it in order to get this good thing. That was Lewis's point. Lewis, why in the world would you give up the good life in Manhattan? Everything. Your good name, your good money, your good penthouse, your good place, your good reputation. Have you seen this place? When they find Christ, when the beauty of Jesus is revealed and unveiled, all the other stuff of life seems to be arranged in a decent order, because the value of Jesus and His goodness and His kingdom becomes so good and clear. Look, this is the beauty. It's not as if the other things don't have value. That's the actual point. Right? It's not as if, your family doesn't have value. Your relationships don't have value. Stop thinking. No, it's not that at all. It's that the things that actually do have value in life, they become reordered because the value of Jesus becomes so beautiful and so clear to you. Listen, some of you have tasted this, right? You have lived a life that is directed towards the engineering and the social engineering of your children's success, and you have worked yourself to the bone, and you've worked every relationship, and you've worked every angle, and you've worn yourself out so that your kids can succeed, and then all of a sudden, the beauty of Jesus and His kingdom comes to bear, and that light has revealed to you that the covenant blessings that God has for you are for your children. And the plan that God has for your children is so much more beautiful than the one that you have, that you have tasted that ability to peel back your fingers from the grip that you've tasted that goodness. Some of you have worked hard and you have grown up saying that I've seen what my parents have and I'm gonna get it. And I'm gonna get the money and I'm gonna chase it. I'm gonna chase the dream and I'm gonna chase the position and I'm gonna chase the dollar. And money is not bad. But some of you have seen when Jesus and His good kingdom breaks in, how it's not that money all of a sudden has no value. It's just that you see that Jesus has a treasure that is lasting, that is so much better because the dollar never satisfied you. But Christ actually did. And some of you have walked through the land, right, of just sexual promiscuity because you were searching for something that meant something. And you have given yourself to everyone and everything. Or you have stayed up night after night after night with pornography, pouring yourself into it, hoping that it would give you life. Why? Because we all seek something that has value. And then all of a sudden, God in His kindness has revealed to you the beauty that Jesus has a wholeness for you that is much better than the treasure that you go after. And you have seen God rearrange the value of those things. And you've let them go because the joy of the kingdom has actually become a thing that is good. Listen, for some of you, it's this. Your whole life, you have never gone to an all-you-can-eat bar because the voice of shame has been so strong in your world that you would never do it. But finally, the kingdom and the voice of Jesus that says He loves you because He has made you beautifully has come, and you have actually finally gone to the Golden Corral for the first time in your life. And for some of you, it's the opposite. You have eaten to feel good and you have eaten to feel bad, and Jesus has broken in and His goodness and love has said to you that you can stop. But guys, sometimes this is a sober joy. Sometimes it's a really sober joy. I have a friend of mine from the Army who is just such a dear guy. He did not believe in God when I met him. Somehow Jesus got a hold of him. He tasted of the goodness of the kingdom. Strangely enough, he's a PCA minister in Washington, D.C., and his wife had breast cancer 6 years ago, and hey, she beat it. And then 3 years ago, it came back in her brain, and she's not going to beat it. She's got 3 kids. She's not going to beat it. Cancer's going to get her. But I sit and listen to Sarah Six, who says things on the end of the phone to her husband like, I know that God and His goodness and His kindness is greater than what I have here. And I will miss my children. And I love this life in a lot of ways. But I have tasted of the eternal hope that is mine in Christ. And that beauty is the thing that frees her to let go of things she loves. It's not that they don't have value. They do. But God has shown her something of much more beauty. It's not always easy. She doesn't say that with like some sort of frivolous air. She weeps, but she hopes. Because there is unexpected, absolute joy in finding Christ and His glory and His goodness and the kingdom that He brings. What should you do? Look, if those last few minutes don't describe you, taste of Christ in faith, please. Because I promise you that what has been unveiled through His Word is a kingdom and a place and a goodness and a wholeness that you have never tasted. Christ, out of God's love for you, has been given for you. Taste of Him. Taste His kingdom. Put yourself in His hands and in His mercy. And I promise you, He will give to you more than you can ever hope in this life and the next. But look, for some of you, it has been years, right? For some of us, we have kind of walked with Jesus for years. What should we do today? Right? I think that what we do is we ask God to give us kingdom eyesight. We ask Him to reveal to us anew this evening the beauty of His kingdom, the beauty of His Christ, the beauty of the treasure that is His loving kindness in the Son He has given for us. I think we ask again, Jesus, because you and I, we live in a world, right, where consumption rules, and it's not like we're unaffected by that. We live in a place, again, where it's not bad, where we have almost everything we could want instantaneously. I'd like an ancient Chinese rice cooker from some province I've never heard of. Amazon, click, I've got it all. I'd like it overnighted, click. It is hard for me to see the value of Jesus sometimes when I can have it all tomorrow. What should you and I do this evening? Ask the Lord to be kind and to give us eyes to see the beauty of His Christ and His kingdom. Would God be kind to renew us and renew us and renew us and give us a deeper view of the beauty of Christ? There's part of it in which I would say we rehearse kingdom value. That's part of what we do. I think there's also a sense in what we do is that sometime this evening we look up and listen, if it describes you that you come in here this evening and you are looking and saying, yeah, I do believe it. I have tasted it. I have seen the goodness of Christ and all His glory and all His goodness. And that's you this evening. Man, we give thanks, don't we? As part of our worship, we give thanks that God has given us a taste to just hold and see the value of that which is better than anything this life can provide. And lastly, I think of this. Again, look, this is not a command. I just think I would say that to those of you who sit there this evening and you have stepped into the world of the kingdom of heaven by God's grace, right? If you're that turtle on the fence post who found yourself having seen the unexpected value of the kingdom, I think I would look and say that as the people of God, in a world where there is an abundance, right, where like micro stores and world globalization makes it possible for the person in far-off flung land with a smartphone to kind of have a hoverboard where there's not paved roads. That's not where most of us live. But in our world, in this place, in a place like Fort Worth, I do think that part of the way that the Church of Jesus will be an effective witness is if God is actually kind in us to make us a people who value Christ and the things He offers better than the things that are out there. Again, don't hear that as shame. I mean this as an encouragement. I think one of the ways in which the church will really witness in a beautiful way to this country in this time, in this age, is when those things come to bear in our life, right? That wasn't a command. Listen to the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this treasure that is unexpectedly found. And when it's found, the people of God, their hands open up. And people begin to say, why in the world would you give that up? And our response will be what? Have you seen this place? Have you seen this treasure? Because you know that Christ has lived the parable first, he has seen the kingdom value that he loves. He has made sure that he will secure it. He has given what he holds most dear because he loves a treasure he came to seek and find. That is you. Would it be that we taste of the beauty of the kingdom of heaven anew this evening? Let's pray. Father, by your Spirit, would you help us to see Christ? Would we be overwhelmed with his beauty? And would you do that good work that you do by your Spirit of giving us great joy in having the kingdom? And would you rearrange all the things that we hold most dear? Because that which we cannot lose, that treasure which will not rust, which will not fade, which will not perish, would that be secured deeply in our hearts by faith through seeing Christ in all his goodness? We ask. Amen.